We're going to read verse number 1 of chapter 3, 2 Samuel, and then we're going to jump to verse number 6. But verse number 1 sets the stage for this. There was long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. But David grew stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul grew weaker and weaker. Now we're going to jump down to verse number 6 of the same chapter. Now it was so, while there was war between the house of Saul and the house of David, that Abner was strengthening his hold on the house of Saul. And Saul had a concubine whose name was Rizpah, the daughter of Ai. So Ish-bosheth said to Abner, Ish-bosheth was the king at the time, "Why have you gone into my father's concubine?" Then Abner became very angry at the words of Ish-bosheth and said, "Am I a dog's head that belongs to Judah? Today I show loyalty to the house of Saul, your father, to his brothers, to his friends, and have not delivered you into the hand of David, and you charge me today with a fault concerning this woman. May God do so to Abner, and more also, if I do not do for David as the Lord had sworn to him, to transfer the kingdom from the house of Saul and set up the throne of David over Israel and over Judah from Dan to Beersheba." And he could not answer Abner another word because he feared him. So maybe you don't know the whole story around this. That's okay. This is kind of deep in David's life. Let me set it up for you. What's happening is Saul was one king. He was the first king of Israel. David was then promised to be king, but Saul still remained king for a long time, many years, in fact. So Saul did not want to give up his kingdom, even though David was rightfully the one God wanted in that role. And so there was this long period where Saul, being the king, David being really nothing at this point, was then chased by Saul. Saul wanted to kill him. Saul wanted him really bad. In fact, he took sometimes up to 3,000 men to go on a hunt after David. God spared him. And then one time in a battle, Saul died. He was killed in a battle. And David, instead of presuming that this was his opportunity to become king, he actually asked God, "Is it time for me to go up and become the king?" And God said, "No, it's still not the time, even though Saul is gone." He said, "Go up to a place called Hebron," and you might hear that in the news sometime. He said, "Go up to Hebron," and David became king of this one tiny little place. The rest of Israel was still without David as the king. So this guy, Abner, the first verse, he was the military commander. And as many of you know, in times past, the military commander had quite a lot of power. And it says that Abner appointed this man as king. Abner just went. We don't know why, we don't know how, we don't know what he did or what was going through his mind. But it says that he appointed this man called Ish-bosheth as king. So now we have, there were 12 tribes, as many of you know. There were 12 tribes of Israel. So we have most of them under Ish-bosheth. And one, or the land of Hebron, the land of the people of Judah, under David at this moment. So this is the setting. This is where we come in. And on top of that, even though they were brothers, they were all the Jewish people, they were all part of the 12 tribes of Israel, they were at war with one another. They were fighting constantly. David and his group of people, and then the rest of the Israelites now under Ish-bosheth, because he was actually a family member of Saul. So,
We have these two things. Now, how does this apply to our lives? It seems like it's such a it's a great story. And if you read through 1 Samuel and through 2 Samuel, the story of David is a great story. Much to learn. But then you wonder, how does this apply to our lives? And this is the way God put it in my heart. That the kingdom of David is like the kingdom of God's Spirit. He's the spiritual side. The kingdom of Saul is like the side of our flesh. The Bible tells us that our flesh, this outer body, our outer desires, or our inner desires, sometimes those emotions that whelm up inside of us, those things are what we refer to as the fleshy side of it. And then there's the spiritual side of us. The kingdom of Ishbosheth, the kingdom of Saul, is like that outer fleshy realm. And the kingdom of David is like the spiritual realm, the side that should be in control. But as often is the case, even though you might be saved for a long time, even though you might have been a Christian for a long time, and even as that first verse says, it says that the house of David was getting stronger and stronger. And thank God that many times we do see that we're maturing spiritually, we're moving forward, we're trying to do what's right, and we're succeeding in many areas, and we thank God for that. But sometimes, even as this verse says, the house of David is getting stronger and stronger, but that flesh won't let go. It won't let go. There's still a struggle, and there's still this war. There's still this civil war that goes on inside of us. There's still, we see it pop up every once in a while, and sometimes we say, where did that come from? You know, you respond a certain way, and you even shocks yourself, and you wonder, was that really inside of me? And you say, yeah, there's still some of that Abner inside of me. There's still some of that Ishbosheth, still some of that Saul that's inside of me.
And there's long war that goes on. There's a long war that goes on. The Bible tells us the flesh wars against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. It says that this is the way it is. Now we make progress, and we're grateful for that. But we can't even think that. We can't think that because we've been a Christian for a long time that everything is good, that there's no more growth. Because there is. There is always something inside of us that needs to be changed more into the image of Christ. It should be that the pattern of David, the pattern of the Spirit, gets stronger and stronger. And it should be that the house of Saul that lives inside of us gets weaker and weaker, that the flesh gets weaker and weaker, and the Spirit gets stronger and stronger. It should be that. Many times, that flesh holds on, and holds on tightly. And even back, if we go back and we liken it again and we continue this comparison, we know that when a king was toppled back in the biblical times, that often another one would rise up. That often another king would just kind of out of nowhere, rise up. Get 50 people to run in front of him, as the Bible says very often. And all of a sudden he declares himself to be king. Oh, Israel, go to your tents. And they proclaim themselves to be king. And we often see this in our own lives. That maybe the flesh is conforming to Christ in one area. But then another king rises up inside of us. Another part of that flesh rises up inside of us and says he wants to be king. What does this mean? Let me give you an example that maybe you could relate to. Sometimes we go through sicknesses in our body, and the flesh literally gets weaker and weaker in certain cases. We actually literally become weaker and weaker in our flesh. And this gives us the opportunity to become more and more Christ-like as we stop depending on ourselves, because often our strong physical nature hinders us from becoming more or close to Christ, because we take care of everything by ourselves. I can handle it. I can do it. I know how to do it. I've done it before. I know how to think it through. I know. I can. And that strong physical nature sometimes is a hindrance. Not always. We thank God for physical strength. We thank God for health. We want that. But sometimes it can be a hindrance if we rely too much on ourselves and not enough on Christ. And sometimes when we're not well, we have no choice. We have to rely on Christ. We have to go to Him. We can't depend on our old self, even if it were years and years of us depending on ourselves. Now we have to go to Him. And in that sense, the house of David, which is the spiritual side and not the flesh side, the house of David gets an opportunity to rise. And the house of Saul, that fleshly side, gets a chance to decrease. But often, even as our flesh gets weaker, something else rises up in us. And maybe it's like stubbornness for some people. They don't want to let go. Maybe they get irritable. Another side, even though the body might get weaker, but another part of the flesh rises up. And we see people getting irritable. We see them not being as gentle. We see them not being as loving. We see them not being as caring. We see them being more callous. It could happen, and we've probably all experienced at one point or another, and maybe even done it ourselves. People use that excuse, well, I don't feel well, and that usually precedes an excuse that they're treating somebody else badly. Well, I don't feel well, I can do this, right? It's an excuse. And the physical body is getting weaker, but Abner inside just has appointed a new king. Abner inside says, well, now irritability gets to be the king. Abner inside says, well, stubbornness gets to be the king. I don't want to listen to what the doctor says. I don't want to do this. I'll make my own decisions. And we see that there is this long war that goes on inside of us. We see that there is this civil war between the flesh, and we see it between the flesh and the spirit. And it goes on, even though we've been with the Lord for many, many years. And we see it in many other places. We could see it, we could liken it to so many different parts of our lives. Often, I mean, another one that you might be able to relate to, have you ever been through a trial in your life and it's gone on for a long time and it's taking its toll on you, and it's making you more dependent on God? You might be crying out to God more. You might be calling on God more and more. You might be getting closer to God in certain areas and less dependent on yourself. The house of David is having that chance to rise up inside of you. But then also that house of Saul wants to rise up as well. You see the anger that arises because you're so irritated with the length of the trial, and you're so frustrated. And you see that even though the one king is being toppled, there's another king that wants to rise up. There's that civil war inside which says that, which goes on and wants to appoint another king, and we can go on and on with the comparisons. Sometimes God puts us through things where we seem to have no control. Sometimes we get in situations and we're used to being in control of everything. I can do, I can make it happen, I can do, I will take care of it all, don't worry about me, I can do things on my own. We like the control of our lives. We like everything in order, we like everything the way we want.
And sometimes God messes that up. And sometimes God puts us through things where we can't have control over everything.
And that's a good thing, because we're supposed to be dependent on God, not dependent on ourselves.
And sometimes we're just too dependent on ourselves and not enough dependent on God.
And so we had this opportunity to be more Christ-like and to get more of His character. But instead of becoming more like His character and losing the control that we so want, sometimes
other things can rise up. Sometimes when we have to lose control, the flesh wants to hold on, and so it tries to manipulate a situation or manipulate a person or make a person feel guilty. There's all these things that rise up inside of us. It just shows that there is a civil war that goes on.
We know that the Bible tells us pretty clearly.
It says very clearly, in fact, and that we glory in tribulations. It's in Romans 5. It says we glory in tribulations because we know that tribulations produce perseverance, and perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. And that is the godly path, but often we know that tribulation doesn't produce perseverance in people. If we don't go down the godly path, we go down the path of Abner, we go down the path of the house of Saul. Tribulation could produce lack of patience. Tribulation can expose the weaknesses of our character instead of building up our character. Have you ever seen people go through that? Have you ever done it yourself? Where you go through something difficult and instead of your character being built up, you see that you're just acting less Christ-like. And instead of having more and more hope, you have more and more despair. Because there's a civil war that goes on between the house of Saul and the house of David. In verse number 11, I'll go back, and it says this: after Ish-bosheth, after Ish-bosheth confronts Abner about this possible wrongdoing, Abner answers him, and he says, Ish-bosheth could not answer Abner another word because he feared him. Ish-bosheth. This is part of the same fleshly house. And what this tells me, and what you've probably seen, is the flesh cannot overcome the flesh by itself. Even though there's king, the flesh, even if you want to do what's right, very often you can't do it for very long. You can't sustain it. You might be a person of great discipline, but even a person of great discipline, they have trouble maintaining things, doing it outside of the Spirit of God for very long. You might say, I won't do this, and I don't want to do this, and I am committing myself to say I'm gonna break this habit, and I'm not gonna do it again. But after a couple months or a couple weeks, it pops up again because you do it in your flesh, and it's like the king says, he's afraid. He's not even gonna touch Abner. The flesh can't overcome the flesh. We need the Spirit of God in us to overcome the issues that we all have. No one's different. No one's better than the other one in this case. We all need God's help. Without God's help, we can't overcome the Abners in our life. We can't overcome the house of Saul in our life. We need God. We need God's help to overcome the things of the flesh. So what do? We have to cry out to God. We have to cry out to God in our weaknesses. We have to remember. We have to remember that it is not us that's going to overcome, but it is only with God's help that we'll be able to overcome the weaknesses that are still in us. We can't get them out by ourselves. We can't overthrow the kingdom.
that's inside of us by ourselves. We need God's help. And so we cry out to Him and we tell Him, oh, maybe we need to repent. Maybe we need to tell Him that we've been trying for so long and we've been failing for so long, and we just fall on His mercy. We just fall on His mercy and say, without You, God, we can't do it. Without You, God, we're going to be losing this battle and continuing to lose. We need to recognize that He is in control and that He is the source of our solution. And that He wants to help us. He wants to help us overcome. He wants to make us stronger, and He wants the house of David to rule. He wants that spiritual side to have complete rule. Not just one little tiny tribe over here in the bottom of Israel, but He wants the entire land to be ruled by the Spirit. And that entire land is you. We often have to look at ourselves. We often have to look at ourselves honestly. We often have to look at ourselves honestly. Because as people, we often tend to judge ourselves by our good intentions. And we often tend to judge others by what they do. I'll say that again. We often judge ourselves by our good intentions. And we often judge others by the specific things that they do, or maybe even what we assume are their bad intentions. Think of it this way, as an example. Sometimes people have in their mind, I want to pray today. I want to pray today. But things get in the way, and life goes on, and the day goes by, and all of a sudden it's nighttime, and they're too tired, and all the other things. We've all been there. We've all had the excuses. We all know. And maybe we still console ourselves by saying, well, I intended to do good. I intended to pray. I intended to succeed in this area. I have really good intentions. And that somehow makes us feel better. I had good intentions. We know that we didn't succeed, but we still don't feel so bad because we had good intentions. And sometimes we fail so often that those good intentions almost trick us into believing that we're good, that we're okay. I want to do what's good. I wanted to talk to that person about Christ. I wanted to read my Bible. I wanted to help out in that situation. I wanted to. And the intentions are there, but the actions aren't. But when we look at others, we often immediately jump to what they've done and what they haven't done. Well, that person didn't say hello to me. Well, that person forgot that. That person walked right past me. That person. And we tend to evaluate others based on what they do. But if you do the same thing, you think back, well, I meant to do that. And so we judge others based on what they do. And we judge ourselves often by our intentions. We need to look at ourselves fairly and openly and honestly, the way Christ and the way God sees us for what is real. And cry out to Him and say, we need Your help to overcome all the things that are in our lives. We can't do it by ourselves. We struggle and we need help. And we need Your Spirit inside us to empower us to do what is right, to do and to shun what is wrong. I'll ask the worship team to come on back up at this time. We're almost done. What God wants for each of us is for the civil war to end. He wants the Spirit to rule. He wants the Spirit to be in control of all parts. And maybe you've been increasing, and maybe you've been maturing, and that's
wonderful, because that is part of what God wants. God wants the whole of you. He doesn't want one little tribe off to the side that hasn't been overcome. He wants the whole thing. He wants all of you, all of your emotions, all of your thoughts,
all of your actions. He's not happy having just one part of you, or 3/4 of you, or whatever is the percentage that you have given. He wants all of you. He wants the whole thing. There is a civil war that goes on, and we have to recognize it, and we have to know it, and we have to cry out to God and say, God, I need your help to win the war. I need your help to overcome the selfishness that I have in me. I need your help to overcome the anger. I need your help to overcome the unloving ways. I need your help to overcome the unforgiveness that I have in my life. I need your help to overcome the holding on to the past. I need your help so that I can overcome, because I can't do it by myself. But we know that He wants to help. That He's there to help. He is a God that is ready and willing. He says to come to the throne of grace, and He will provide mercy and grace in our time of help. This is who we go to. This is who we run to. He wants the civil war to end. He wants us to be victorious in all parts of our life. He wants us to be dependent on Him, and He wants us to become more like His Son Jesus each and every day. His name be praised.